Is the bread that you are eating like soft sandwich bread, or is it like crusty, dip into something with like garlic and olive oil bread?
What do you think it is?
Oh, you know what? You have a husband who makes you bread and things, so crusty bread.
No. Well, yeah. It's actually not, he didn't make it, but it is, it's from Whole Foods. It's really good. We get it every now and then. It's, like a kind of rustic, like wheat, loaf that has cranberry and walnuts in it.
Oh, delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Do you put anything
on
it?
It's really, really good. I really like Kerrygold butter. Have you had that before?
No.
It's like, I saw it at Trader Joe's, and well, I guess they sell it everywhere now. It's in like a gold or silver foil package.
Oh yeah, I've seen that before. Yeah,
I think it's made in Ireland or something. Which I'm always like, are they really making all of this butter there? Because that's
probably not
a lot of butter to export.
No, yeah.
But it's so good. It's so creamy. It's definitely superior, I think, to most butters. But.
To regular.
Well, whatever. It's not an ad. We're making substantially more money than we are now.
Correct.
Kerrygold, which is $0.
$0 minus negative, however much it is to run the website.
Yeah, and buy microphones.
And buy microphones, exactly. Well,
and the time you're spending waiting for GarageBand to open on your computer. Oh,
someday we'll have a functional podcast operation. Who knows what it'll be about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. The 20 minutes that I spend every time we try to record opening GarageBand. Oh, Lord.
All right. 602. Here we are.
602.
We really don't have much to go, you know?
We don't have much to talk about in this one, right?
No, my notes were very short. Johnny was like... I said, oh, this episode's boring me. And he said, oh, I'm glad you think that. And me too. And I was like, well, but I can't really use your opinion because I feel like you're not paying attention. I guess he does sometimes seem to enjoy them. He told me yesterday when we were watching it, because we started watching Dairy Girls. Have you seen it?
No, but I think, have you talked about this one before?
I haven't watched it before. Okay. It's on Netflix. I think I may have mentioned that he wanted to watch it. But then I was like, I don't know if you would like it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we decided to give it a chance, and it's a Irish comedy. It's really funny. It's about, I guess they follow like four school girls at this private Catholic school in Ireland. Mm-hmm. Their accents are so thick that it's like it's just a challenge just to try and make out everything that they're saying.
Yeah.
And so we were really enjoying it, and then a few minutes into the second episode, he was like, he seemed to be losing interest. And I was like, oh, do you want to watch something else? He's like, no, it's okay. I was like, no, it's fine. Like, I'm, you know, don't need to be binge watching this. Yeah, and I was like, I do need to watch Downton. He's like, oh, okay. Yeah. He's like, I think I prefer their voices to these. he just, I think the challenge, like I said, of like, decoding the accent was getting to him.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's a little harsh. And, but I think it's just fascinating watching it and thinking we're speaking the same language, and I'm, you know, a native English speaker, and still I'm like, what? Like,
what are you even trying to say to me?
Yeah, it's very musical and quick, and a lot of slang that we don't use.
It makes me feel real lame to be like, I can't understand what you're trying to say to me in the language that I speak.
I know. And I'm sure that they would know what we were saying.
Yeah. Or not. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to say, oh, we speak English without an accent. I just think that there's a very speedy like cadence to the words that are a little bit like, it's less like dictionary language. Do you know what I mean? Like if a dictionary is like pronounces a word for you. Almost like a really deep, like Southern or like Cajun, I think.
Okay.
Like the way that we manipulate language in the States
would be like an American equivalent. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I recommend it. And Yeah, so he was like, I find this more pleasant. It's like,
that's why you keep it as your background show.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I looking forward to getting to the ratings on this one. I'm not going to forget that.
Oh boy. I liked in last episode, you were like, I thought I would have Allison pinned. I did not.
I was like, oh, she's going to match mine.
I don't know. I guess I thought nothing happened in that one. Then really nothing happened in this one. So I was like,
yeah,
gotta go down.
Really doesn't. And it was good. It was actually played in my favor because I was a little like, I think because I was watching with Johnny, I wasn't as like, oh yeah, let me like pay attention to everything. Yeah. And Napoleon was sleeping next to me for probably the first like 10 minutes that I was watching.
Yeah.
I need to pull my mic closer. And he was like, seemed so comfortable. And I felt bad getting up to get my laptop. So I was like, just try and remember what's going on here.
Just wing it. Here.
Yeah. Cause he gets so disturbed when I stand up. So poor, I was like, okay, sorry. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
It's not too loud.
I mean, I can hear you.
Sorry.
Anyway. Who do you want to start with?
I will start with Mary. Mm-hmm. In the synopsis, it says something about an incident with Marigold and Edith and the pigs.
Yeah,
and I was surprised Johnny goes, oh, is this the one where Mary is in the pigsty and like they don't have the water?
Johnny needs to be our next guest.
I know. I was like, no, this is another pig event. He's like, oh yeah, that one happened before.
That's amazing.
Because there's not. Like pig stuff happens, but they make it seem in the Amazon synopsis, they say something like I said that Edith and Marigold and like the pigs, there's an incident.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They make it sound like Marigold like fell into the pigsty and gets trampled, which is it's not related to the pigs at all, really. But
whereas
I guess they didn't
in
want
reality,
to give a spoiler.
It's just kind of like 602, the second episode with pig stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's all it really is.
Yeah. Which there were some cute pigs. I don't
there
know
were
much
some
about
cute
them.
Pigs. They were very pretty.
Yeah. So with Mary, fashion note first.
Mm-hmm.
She's wearing this like fancy crochet like lace tunic, and her hair and dress are very modern. Like I know she's had this bob for a few episodes, but she has this kind of like very tailored like. Undercut almost in the back.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Okay.
Have you noticed that?
I haven't.
She's got, and I guess it's maybe not very modern, maybe it's of the time. And then, you know, that has come back around. But it's like a bob, and then I guess they would have had to have shaved under like along her like neck hair, and so they've cut it very short.
Her
anyway,
fake
it was
French
a bob
hairstylist.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bob feature this episode. But she, in that scene goes to meet with, is it Mr. Jarvis? Is that,
I thought the guy's name was Finch. I wrote down Finch somewhere.
Oh, maybe it was. I'm probably remembering Jarvis from like, like early episodes.
Remember like
when
Jarvis
he was like
up
the lawyer.
Quit.
Yeah. Was he the agent? Was he the original agent?
Yeah. The only reason I remember him
They're
is because
side characters.
It's the same name as like from Marvel.
Oh, who's that?
Jarvis is the name of Tony's like digital butler, but then also he's a real butler. Like for his dad. And so he's a character in Agent Carter.
I see.
Yeah.
Mr. Jarvis was Downton Abbey's land agent for 40 years. Yes. Okay. So anyway, she's the new Mr. Jarvis. And the guy is like, are you sure you're the agent?
Because
he's
sure
expecting
you're
to meet
still
with Branson.
A lady.
Yeah. And I just like that she responds, well, it's a changing world. Yeah. You're
but
right.
Then they have that meeting, and then did anything come of that meeting? No.
Well, he just, I think, asks them to enter the estate's pigs into this like local contest.
I forgot I think that because, was what he was there for.
Yeah, I think he was. That's funny because I was like, Christina, you need to pay attention to this because Allison's going to be like, reference it, or we're going to reference it and we're not going to know.
Nope.
I think it was to give weight to whatever like local fair they were having by right. having the estate participate, and people would be like, oh, okay, this is like legit.
They're keeping references to it. There kept being references to it later in the episode of like, oh, it'll be a good look for the house if we're like, I don't know, at some point somebody says we have to show that we're like all on the same team. I'm like, how does this okay, fine. Like, I honestly, I think I just like tune out when it comes to like the house politics shenanigans.
Yeah, it was not very relevant to like long-standing plots, or you know, it's not like you can't understand what's happening between the characters.
There were pigs, they were showing the pigs, the end. She got credit for it even though she didn't do anything about it, etc.
If this was a more serious Downton podcast, then we would really get into it, but this is really just about me sharing the show with you. Mm-hmm. So Mary, is showing the pigs. They're cute pigs. She's the new agent. Look at her. She can do stuff.
Anything Women else? Can do things. Shocking.
Yeah. and then she talks about going to visit the Drew's pigs and can transition into Ida's storyline because she was like really worried about if that was appropriate for Marigold to visit.
And Mary's it's not a big deal. Mary says that she's going to go visit the pigs. George asks if he can go with her. And she was like, oh, yeah, we'll take both of the kids. And
in the worst, like child acting. He's like, can I go?
Hey, listen, if you're like 3, how would you deliver a line?
I actually have video footage of me being Mary in my preschool pageant. And I did a great job. And I certainly did not pick my nose on stage at the end.
Hey, listen, we can only ask so much. Remember your lines. Don't pick your nose. I think you're going to remember your lines. Like, pick one. Oh, my gosh. So we cannot disparage child actors. Come on.
No, it made me like start. I was like, whoa. Because I don't know if they had him like mic'd up. Like, it just sounded like louder than the rest of the sound. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. It's just everything was like, he's like, can I go? Okay.
Maybe we'll put it in here. So Edith ends up being like so freaking squirrely about the kids going to the Drew's farm. Like, girl has never learned how to keep her cool, has she? Like,
no,
she has never learned to be anything but obvious. Maybe it's because she's so attention seeking that she has to like draw attention to herself at all times to the point where it's subconscious. But I'm like, yo, you're looking real weird by saying maybe the kids shouldn't go to the farm. Like, who cares?
I know.
And then makes her look very, very possessive. Like, obviously it's her daughter, but what does she think is going to happen? I mean,
I feel like they wrote that scene in anticipation of what they were planning for the end.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Whereas like it should have come after.
Yeah. 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 As if this is okay. Wow.
Use your words.
Never mind. Doesn't matter.
Okay. I'm going to move on. So the reason why she's weird about it is because she can't go with them to the farm because she has to go to London to deal with the magazine editor. So Cora volunteers to go with Marigold while Edith is in London, but she's still like, I don't really know. These people only took care of my child for what, like a year? And she like can't trust them. Now she can't trust them. But what reason did she have before?
Yeah, I think that there should have been a further conversation like as they were leaving, like between Cora and Edith. And when she was like, oh, I just feel badly about, you know, exposing Mrs. Drew to this again. But that's never been a concern of hers.
Yeah,
she's
exactly.
always been like, Mrs. Drew needs to like calm down and leave my baby alone.
Yeah.
She has this like unnecessary like fear of her. When all the Drews have been to her is kind. And
yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I said.
Justice for the Drews.
So like ultimately at this fair, Marigold
is. They kind of suggest whether or not the Drews should move.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of like, this is up for discussion.
Yeah. And at the fair, was Marigold just like wandering off or?
No, she was like standing right next to them.
Was she with somebody?
She was standing next to him. I don't know. But before they have this like really heartbreaking moment with Mrs. Drew and Marigold when they do go visit the farm.
Yeah, as if Mrs. Drew is like a mental patient. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, they kind of like changed her character a little bit.
Didn't they? She was like, it's all fine. Like,
it does seem different, but it's just like she sees her again and like has this really nice moment. And like for once, this child actor like shows an expression and that she giggles at her.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, oh God, like this is really sad for her that she like bonded with this child and now it's taken away from her. And so I think that that's kind of what leads her to do what she does at the pig show.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah. It does make her seem almost like, I don't know how you would justify it. Like,
yeah,
that she had a mental breakdown or something. Like she seems like a, he's like, let me go talk to her first so we don't scare her. And I'm like, I feel like she still has her logic about her. Like we've never painted her as mentally deranged.
More than just like a lapse in judgment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Mr. Drew continues to be far too nice. He's like, yeah, we need to leave the farm. I'm like, I know. Edith, you have ruined these people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Truly she has. And then there's just right? like nothing for it. She's just like sitting there huffy and mad.
Yeah. They've gotten nothing from it. And he was, you know, really upset when his father died and was like, oh, you know, I'd really like a chance at farming this land, continuing to farm the land. And from what I remember, I don't think that there's any regret on Edith's part or like understanding. I think she's just, woe is me. Why can't I have my baby? Why did I lose Gregson? And it's like, do we not have sympathy for what this family did for you? And
honestly,
now
or
look
like
what you've given to them.
At the very least is nothing. You've kicked them out. You've taken away this child that like they bonded to, that you asked them to. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not even a neutral point. It's like she's created this emotional trauma by taking the child back and forth. You know, it's what a mess.
And like the whole,
but Mr. Drew's like, it's cool. My wife's
cool.
Crazy.
Deuces later. I just like, when the whole thing is like, oh, she disappeared. And I was just like, oh, good Lord. Did she like kidnap Marigold? Like, how did no one notice? You're right. Yeah. Like, where was she? Did she wander off or something like that? But like, if she's standing right next to you and other adults, how do you not notice an adult come up and walk away with a small child who's standing next to you?
Yeah. No, I know. I don't like it. I think Mrs. Drew has been poorly treated. And I think Edith this is like definitely one of those moments where you're like, oh, you are a family of a different class and you're allowed to treat people differently. That's fine.
It's entitlement.
Mm-hmm. It does make me have like a lack of sympathy for all that's happened to Edith, because it is terrible that she has to go through this. She has to leave the country to give birth. She has to go through the potential adoption. Then she's like, wait, no, I'm not adopting her out. She lost her husband. I mean, a lot of crazy stuff has happened, but she, just the way that the whole situation plays out really loses any sympathy.
It's almost like it's almost the squandering of an opportunity that like she at many points along the road, she might not have had of like, they adopted the baby out and then they took it back and then they had it stay with this family and then they took it back. It was like all of this could have been that like they adopted the baby out and then that's it. And she never sees her again. And then it was like, oh, she had the opportunity for her to be close by. But like, you know, it's just like it feels like she's not like, not trying to say appreciative, but like she doesn't recognize the opportunity that she has here. And she's just being like, oh, like she's being such a snoot about it the whole time, like in the car and whatever.
Yeah. Instead of being empathetic to the fact that Mrs. Drew has bonded with this baby as if she's her own. She's like, can't relate to it.
Also, how is Mary so dense that she doesn't realize there's more to this than it's just like there's this girl that she cares after?
Yeah. I think in a maybe more realistic plot, she would be aware of it, but it's just not convenient to the show to like write it in yet. I guess they're like not ready to deal with it.
I do grant it that she is so incredibly self-involved that she would just be, because she does say like, well, what about us? Like, how are we gonna get home?
Yeah, I think she's just written Edith off. She's like, whatever, Edith. Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, she gets preoccupied a little bit with the Carson and Mrs. Hughes's wedding, which shouldn't be her business at all.
I know, trying to boss people around again. Yeah,
unknowingly steamrolling Mrs. Hughes and then just being like, she doesn't know what she needs.
I know. So Robert offers to Carson to have the wedding reception at Downton, and he says we can decorate the servants' hall because Carson and Mrs. Hughes are still looking for a place to have their reception. And he's like,
how generous, my lord.
Yes, probably what he said. And Mary's like, how dare you say we'll decorate the servants' hall? Like, at least offer them something nicer.
It's great.
Yeah, which is nice that she's like, that was a lame ass offer. Do something better for these people who are so good to us. And then she's like, no, we'll just like, we'll have it wherever you want. But then gets it into the idea that that is the only place that the reception could possibly be at all. And Mrs. Hughes is not so much about it.
No. Yeah. She's like, how could anything possibly be better? These people are poor. Like, kind of that, narrow-minded like charity where you're like, look what I've given to you,
look at this great thing I'm doing.
And there are a few quotes from Mrs. Hughes that I liked on this topic. She says, I just don't want to be a servant on my wedding day. Is that so wrong?
Correct.
It may be where we work, but it's not who we are, which I do think is something that she and Carson will have to deal with in their relationship, because I think that Carson is feels very defined by Downton and his position and the family and considers them to be family. And I think Mrs. Hughes has always held her held herself a little bit further back, you know, from feeling personally invested in the family. She's very professional. And I mean, Carson is professional as well, but you can tell that he, you know, is always fawning after Mary, and he's so like, always concerned about what Robert's opinion is, whereas Mrs. Hughes may respect Cora's wishes but not be like, oh, and you know, she's amazing and
everything that she says is gospel.
So Mrs. Hughes wants their wedding to represent them. I think she talks about having it at the schoolhouse, and Carson is like, well, that I feel like doesn't represent us either. But I think she just wants to feel like I've made my own way in life, and that's good enough. And, you know, this great hall is, you know, it's not me.
Yeah. And that it's something that she chooses. It seems like she's trying to say, like, I want this to be something that I have picked, that I've selected, that I made the decisions of how to do it, because it's representative of a day that's about me. That's not about Mary. Yeah.
And she kind of puts her foot down, and Carson's like, oh no, I'm caught between my two ladies.
Yeah, but he does say to her in the end, he's like, Downton is really important to me. Doesn't that matter?
Yeah.
They're kind of like at an impasse about this in the end, right?
Yeah. And I do think that it's maybe the most interesting thing that happens in this episode. just because I think it's very, like I said, it's very representative of who they are as people and what they value. And obviously they have very they have areas that overlap, and that's why they've come together, but they do have, you know, very different parts of their personality.
Yeah. That's all I had about that.
Yeah. So the other thing that Mary I have to change my words.
Oh yeah, Mary just like has her hand in a lot of.
That's so funny. I was gonna say that, and then I was like, maybe that's not appropriate for Anna's storyline.
Well, I don't know. It's okay.
Well, she's
involved.
Yes, she's involved. The doctor's surgical skills come into play. Anna, you know, starts talking about her fertility issues and that it's just not going to happen for her. And
it's so sad.
Yeah. And I'm happy for Anna that that the doctor feels very positive that he can make a change in her fertility. He's like, oh,
I am very wary of
it. Yeah. And it's also like, I guess, you know, from the clinical history, he's like, oh, yeah, it's very easy. And he examines her. I don't know. But he says he can place a suture at, around her cervix at 12 weeks, because I guess she's like it's not closing properly or something, and the baby is being spontaneously aborted, it sounds like.
He makes it sound like it's just fallen out.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Like, okay, we just put a suture there.
It's like
there.
It gets too heavy and it's like, yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of sad in a way because Anna, and I'm not giving you spoilers for what's to come. But Anna again, like, goes on this emotional roller coaster of like, she really doesn't want to hope. And then at the end, she's like very optimistic and it makes you worried. I mean, she's already lost what she say, 3, maybe 4 babies. It's just, yeah, it's a little upsetting. And I don't like the idea that Mary is just like, oh, I can fix it, because I think that's a very,
I think it feeds her confidence in a false way.
Yeah, and it's a very insensitive way to approach someone's fertility.
There's
so many reasons that you may not get pregnant. And, just because this was Mary's story doesn't mean that that's going to be Anna's story. And so I think she is just I have money and I can take you to the doctor. And
I can fix it.
It's again that like narrow-minded charity where, maybe what Anna needed is someone to just listen to her as well, instead of say, oh, well, I can fix it. Like, don't worry. It's not a big deal.
And say like, it's okay to be upset.
Yeah, it is.
That's smart. I didn't think of it in that way of just kind of like the conversation about, like her difficulty. Like it's that, not that there is something to fix and to make it normal, but that like, it's okay to be upset about this situation.
Yeah. I read, A Cup of Joe blog, a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's something that is, discussed from time to time. There was actually a post about it yesterday, and it was about like, how to approach, friends that are dealing with infertility. And, I think it's obviously not a new problem, but I do think that people are becoming more open about the way they talk about it. And I think the psychological like ramifications are huge. I mean, we see like a little glimpse of that with Anna, how she feels responsible. Mm-hmm. She feels like she's letting Bates down. I think, Mary is just like, oh, that same thing happened to me.
Yeah. And it's like, really, it is not.
Yeah. It's so individualistic. And I think true of like many illnesses,
I just want to say that what the doctor diagnosed her with is uterine incompetence, which is only a term that a man would give to a woman's condition.
Can you imagine? All I'm saying, like, you have experienced four miscarriages, and you go into your doctor and they're like, oh, you have uterine incompetence.
You're just like, okay.
That's actually,
I want to.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's funny. It's like maybe one of the situations where it's maybe better to refer to it by its more medical term. I don't know what that would be, but I'm sure there is one.
Which I don't know what it is either. Yeah.
But in most cases, you're like, when you tell somebody something medical, they're like, wait, what does that even mean? But you should not say uterine incompetence.
Oh my God. Bad.
Yeah. Let's not say like insufficiency. Let's make it a neutral medical term.
Nope. Oh Lord. Who else do we have? Hospital drama is.
I wrote struggling to find this interesting.
Still debating about whether or not a larger hospital will take over the local hospital. Is Violet so opposed to this because it means a lack of power on her part?
I think so. And I do think that she sees it as like, the tradition changing. Like, yes, I think there's a power aspect to it, but I also think that she sees it as the estate becoming less important to the town. Right. Because the decisions would shift. And I guess I say that because I don't want to paint her as like power hungry and that she doesn't care about the patients, because I don't think that's what it is. I think that she has viewed her role, like the role that she inherited or took on when she married Lord Grantham. I think she's sees herself as like the mother, like lion, like the protectress of this village. And I think she feels like that would be taken away from her and that she wouldn't be able to affect change in that way. Does that make sense? Because I think it is about power, but I do think that she does care about like the villagers.
I don't think that it comes from any lack of caring, but it comes off as being a little bit power hungry.
Oh yeah, it totally does.
She's not saying exactly what she means.
Yeah.
And that she's kind of, she's using the decision-making reasoning as her main point in opposing this. And it just feels like it's not the whole thing.
Yeah, it's interesting because she is very progressive in some ways that we've talked about, like socially. Mm-hmm. But the hospital has always been a weak point for her because she was very opposed to Isabel meddling like with the other procedures. She was like, no, it's like we don't do that here.
So
I could see her and Robert being a little bit of like fearful of like medical care, like fearful of medical stuff. Because she's very reluctant to have change in the hospital. Cora joins the fight with Isabel. I think Clarkson and Violet like thought, oh, she's going to be on our side. And she's like, well, like, it seems like it would be great to have new technology. And, at some point somebody like slams Clark. Well, I don't think they slam him, but, says something about the way Clarkson, like if he even knows how to read x-rays or something. I was like, Oh yeah.
Merton does. Yeah. He's like, does he even know how to use the machine? Which is the fact that he's still there. Maybe like the door is still cracked open for him and Isabel.
Yeah.
Question mark.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
I can't tell you anything.
Oh, fine. Okay. In reference to the conversation I was talking about before, it was like Cora and Robert are talking about like the pig thing and how like we have to let everybody know that we're on the same team and something and like how it doesn't apply to Violet, something along those lines. And his only response to her is, I don't think the rules apply to Mama. She is a law unto herself.
And yeah,
I'm just like, yep,
that's
correct.
It's very true. It's very true. Thomas
is Thomas being a creep to the new footman again?
He kind of is. So at first I thought, oh, he like is being a friend and whatever. And then when Mrs. Padmore is like, hey, like, I think you're maybe barking up the wrong tree, which is a very kind thing, I think, of her to say, to be like, I don't know that you're reading this right.
Off of this. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I don't think it was judgment in like, that is like, you being interested in him is not appropriate. It was more just like, hey, like, I think that you're putting yourself out there and like, this is maybe not a safe situation for you. Don't you think?
Yeah.
That's like how I read it. So he's just being a little over eager, which I guess we can't blame him, you know,
That's Thomas. In that,
well, and in that, like, you know, he has no real social connections. Do you know what I mean? Like if you,
yeah.
Well, I think it's natural to seek a partner. But I think Andrew's been giving like some very clear like signs, very polite signs of like, no thanks. Like, hello, no thanks. No.
Yeah. Yeah. And he just keeps going.
Very like even keel, like not like, like where
not
Jimmy
flustered,
was like, yeah,
like
Jimmy
mean.
Was like, well,
yeah.
I don't know. He is just like, oh, no thanks. Like I like to walk alone. Yeah, I'm like, okay.
I know how to wind clocks. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Thomas is worried about losing his position, which is very sad. And he starts applying to places. And when he tells Carson, like, oh, I have an interview, Carson seems like taken aback as if like, oh, like
he hasn't been giving him reason to think that he's going to be fired.
Yeah. And
he's like not doing anything to like help him think that he's going to stay.
Yeah. And he almost says like he should think, oh, what great initiative. Like, oh, how great that you're like look planning for your future. But I feel like the way that Carson has been viewing it is as almost like a disloyalty to the house. But like you said, when he's asked like, oh, you know, when will we find out more, whatever they ask him, like he doesn't give them any reassurance. So I'm like, blame the guy for looking. Like, that's great.
Yeah, he's kind of doing his classic Thomas thing of, before something happens to me, I'm going to do something about it.
Yeah, but in a responsible way. Like, he's not doing his, like, shady, like, I'm going to go get a position with Clarkson and like be on top of the house, like, yeah, you know,
like,
and
he was, yeah,
yeah, I'm not gonna buy stuff on the black market. Like, he's legitimately applying for other positions, mm-hmm. which I'll say this in the rating, but anyway, yeah,
yeah, the interviewer that he talked to was very awkward and tense.
Yes, yeah, it was, and a little aggressive at the end. Daisy Cora
Mosley,
just very brief.
Yeah.
Mr. Mason.
Yeah, I was like, Daisy is still worried about Mr. Mason and his standing and thinks that she might get some sympathy with Cora, kind of like tries to go through Mosley to Baxter to Cora to like get that sympathy, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't. I think the way that we end things is that she talks directly to Cora, and Cora's like, well, like, maybe I have this idea. And all of a sudden, Daisy's like, oh my gosh, like, she saved his job. And I feel like we just leave it as we don't know exactly what's going to happen next. Is that right?
Yeah.
That your assessment?
Yeah, pretty much. It was just kind of like a lot of like, maybe Cora, maybe not. Maybe I'll talk to her. Maybe I won't. Maybe someone will talk to somebody else. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, I put a headline or like a little a title to write notes about Mosley under, and then ultimately I just deleted it. I was like, oh, actually, he's not really playing a part.
I have one thing about Mosley is that Mosley goes to the school to sample exams from previous years for Daisy before she sits for hers. But it's more a question than a note. I mean, he does do that. Is this equivalent to her like trying to get a high school diploma or a GED? Like, what are these? They make it seem like a formalized thing before she sits for her exam.
I think so. Oh, okay. Sorry. Like, bumped into my microphone. I think that's what that is. And it's a very kind gesture of Mosley.
Yeah, it's really nice.
He's nothing but nice.
Sample exams are nice.
Yes. Please give them to us.
Seriously. My last note is that Mosley was seen ironing the newspaper.
I commented that at the beginning to Johnny. I was like, ooh, iron newspaper. haven't seen that for a while.
No, haven't seen that one since season one.
Yeah.
Little William.
And my rating is 1 out of 5. So from peg to proposal, it is very low.
It's
my
real
assessment was, what was even happening? ?
For sure.
I think my positives were, I did like the characterization of Mrs. Hughes and Carson. I felt like that was a very real sort of situation and brought to forefront some of their values. And then what I was going to say when we were talking about Thomas is, I do also like the fact that we're starting to get exposure to the world around Downton, and he... the guy is like talking about the family, and he's like, well, most of the time they drive themselves. So we get a little bit more exposure to the changing times and how Downton is, you know, they're trying to still uphold the standards that that Carson wants. But a lot of the families around them, like last episode, a family has folded, and then these other families are having to adapt and have much less staff and are not able to maintain the house as they once did. So I think that's like an interesting element to get to see through Thomas interviewing for positions. And must have been a very difficult transition at that time from people that were trained in a very specific way in the house, like in service, and then to have those jobs over a generation disappear.
It was interesting, not enough to like carry an episode.
No. I'm more interested in that like one idea that I didn't really like think about that much when I was watching the show.
What did you give it? One?
A 1 out of 5, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm doing the same.
I gave it a peg.
this one's a straight up peg for me. I watched it and I was like, that's it? Nothing? I was like,
it
so
was
the main
easy.
Drama about this
it was like relaxing. I didn't type a lot of notes. I didn't get up in arms about anything.
Yeah, that's true. I think I was looking at other things online. I was like, maybe online shopping while I was doing it. I was like, there's not a lot to comment about here. When does Matthew Good come back?
Oh, I know. Right? Why wasn't he there?
Bring me these guys back. And like whoever Edith's guy is. Whatever. We're mad at Edith this episode. So it's not that big a deal. Give me some time to cool off and like maybe feel like I should fight for Edith again.
Yeah. But I will tell you, there will come a time, I think, that you'll be happy about what she does. She takes a little bit more of the reins with the magazine, which I think we see coming.
Good. I do want to see that. I am interested in this.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, hoping next week's episode we can rate a little bit higher.
Let's get back to my standard of 3 to 4 out of 5.
3 to 4 out of 5, and then me giving it like a 2.5 to a 3.
A 1 is pretty, exactly. It's pretty brutal from both of us.
I know. Okay,
you could you could easily have skipped this episode and watched 3, and you would 100% know where the plot was. And so I think that is pretty telling to why we rated it like that.
Agreed. That's a really good description of it, is that you could have not watched this at all and missed nothing.
Yeah. It's kind of like the X-Files, or really any of these, like, I guess a lot of sci-fi shows, that have like an independent storyline, and then you're like, okay, but let's get back to like progressing the plot.
That they like do a bottle episode or something.
Yeah, is that what it's called? It's like a little adventure, and then you're like, okay, but we didn't learn anything about
these other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I just wanted to tell you that did a Twitter poll last week about our spin-offs.
Oh.
Because we talked about so many options, and I just wanted to get a feel for what would people be interested in. We actually had more options than Twitter allowed me to do. And so I had to make it in 2 separate polls. And so it's possible that you could have.
I like that
twice,
you did that. You were like, but they all need to be included.
They all need to be included, because I can't pick between pregnant Mr. Bates and young Violet.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to pick. So anyway, so our options were Tom in Boston, Rose in New York, young Violet, Sybil the ghost, pregnant Mr. Bates, Anna the detective, or Edith in London. Most popular, young Violet. People wanted to see that one. They were like, yep, this seems super interesting.
It would be a whole different era. It would be so interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At Arvis Jagmar said, young Violet in the late mid 1800s would be hysterical, watching her both navigate and undermine the nobility. I'm like, yeah, I could see that happening.
Yeah, I would love it, because I'm sure that kind of what he's referencing, she had this like rebellious streak. Now she's like the matriarch, and she's
the one that follows all the rules. And
yeah, and she'll push against them, so you can see that like glimmer. But it would also be interesting, because now she has all these like little quips and like wise remarks, and just very.
How did she get there?
Like she's totally like composed at all times, and it would be interesting watching her develop that.
Next most popular was Rose in New York and Edith in London, shockingly. After that was Anna the detective. Duh.
Yeah, everyone loves a good mystery, good period mystery.
Same Twitter user said detective
would be good.
Yeah, I think Rose in New York would be good. Same Twitter user before said, Detective Anna is just too perfect. She's the kindest, sharpest, and best of the whole cast. So getting an entire show about her taking down criminals while being all meek and lovely would just really be the best thing, which I agree. She would be like, oh, sorry I punched you in the face.
Yeah, that's funny. I totally was thinking that too. She'd be like apologetic.
Exactly. The last most popular was Sybil the Ghost, which just like, yeah, that makes sense. And then
where would that take place?
The house.
Would it be like what was that, like the Lovely Bones, where she's like observing things?
Yeah, I only read the book. I didn't see the movie.
That's so funny. How hoity-toity are we? I only read the book too. I didn't see the movie.
Well, I think the movie didn't get good reviews, so I didn't go.
Oh really? Oh okay.
Yeah.
Was that Saoirse Ronan?
I think so.
Oh, I wonder if that was like her first role that we would have like known her from.
No, first one would have been Atonement is the first thing I saw her in.
Oh, she was in that, wasn't she? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Forgot about that.
Yeah. Other suggestion that we got from at Not That Amy Grant said Thomas's Dastardly Adventures, which depending on what
what the adventures are.
Vein. Yeah. Yes. Depending on what vein they take. Yes. I absolutely agree with that. I would potentially watch an entire show of Thomas.
Let's say that she was voting on his dastardly adventures, which are very respectful of people's
personal space
and boundaries
and are not committing any personal crimes.
In a very like intimate way. If he wants to like punch a criminal, that's fine. We're okay with that.
Maybe he can like be the muscle for Anna's detective agency.
I would watch that.
That would be that. Interesting because
honestly, I'd watch all of them. I'd be down. Let's do it.
Let's make it. No love for Tom in Boston and pregnant Mr. Bates, by the way.
Pregnant Mr. Bates. Well, pregnant Mr. Bates is already like, isn't that like junior? Is that what that's called?
Is already a thing.
Yeah. I will go ahead and plug Dairy Girls, which I already did. I've been watching it. I think the lead actress, I was looking at the credits. I think her name is Sorsha, which I was like, oh, it's so interesting. Like that name may be, you know, much more common. Well, not much more common, obviously. So I've never heard anyone in America named Sorsha. I wonder if it's, you know, more like Bailey here or something. You know?
Madison.
Yeah. Well, but maybe it's more of a traditional name. Whatever. Anyway, her name's Sorsha. Watch it.
Okay.
I'm getting long-winded. For no reason.
I have no plugs. I saw Avengers, and so like all of the content that I'm taking, I've like listened to no fewer than 5 different podcasts about Avengers. So I need to start varying my intake.
Is that what you were? Was that Endgame? Avengers Endgame?
Yeah.
Or something? Yeah. Okay, because you said leaving Endgame, and I was like, from what you were saying, I was like, I think she's leaving a movie, but I'm so like out of the Avengers universe that you were saying a lot of words I didn't know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's fine. That's all.
All right, let's see where the plot goes in 603. See you next week.